What's going on, Auburn family, and welcome back to the Jungle Show. We are here to talk about Auburn's basketball first game against the Baylor Bears. Took a hard loss last night to this room we were recording this. It took a hard loss last night to the number 20 ranked Baylor Bears. Very, very good early November game. We'll get to all that and more, but first, let's talk about some good news. I have my co-host here with me. I got my dad. I am Gray Oldenburg. He is Chris Oldenburg. We are here to talk Auburn basketball, just like we are after every single basketball game. Let's talk about some good news. Auburn did take a loss, and we will get to talking about the game here in just a little bit. But Auburn has had some really good news the following day. After the game, the following day, this Wednesday, today, as of when we were recording this, Auburn not only go ahead and sign, Tahad Pettiford signs his national letter of intent, is officially going to be an Auburn Tiger next year, but they also land a four-star commitment in Ja'Kai Howard out of the Overtime Elite. He basically played professional basketball last season. He's a 6'8 forward, a little skinny forward who can absolute fly, a pure athlete, a very, very good defender. Bruce Pearl really, really wanted this guy. Arizona State and Arkansas were really the top two for this guy before this upcoming weekend. He visited this upcoming weekend, yeah. Set that commitment date and immediately committed and said, when he did commit, he said, I committed because not only will Auburn fans have the best and most exciting freshman duo coming in next year, but the coaching staff treated me like family this whole weekend. This is the place I want to be. It felt like home. And that's absolutely perfect. Let me just go through some numbers for Ja'Kai Howard before I let you talk about him, Dad. Ja'Kai Howard right now on three is ranked as the number 80 prospect in the country, the number 9 player out of Georgia. ESPN has him as the highest right now, number 2 player out of Georgia, and number 59 overall. Rivals is at 74. It varies. It really does, especially with reclassifications and these four sites with 24/7, on three, ESPN, and Rivals. They do differ a lot, but this guy is a unanimous four-star and is a stud. And he's a stud to add with a guy like Pettiford who just signed his NLI. Very exciting for the future of Auburn basketball. So, what do you think about this, not only getting Tahad Pettiford, locking him down and signing him, but also landing this guy, Ja'Kai Howard?
Yeah, let's not gloss over Tahad Pettiford.
Yeah.
Dude is a complete baller. Going to be a great point guard. Is as athletic as anybody, I think, in the class, except maybe Ja'Kai Howard.
Yeah.
Who also is athletic. They played on the same AAU program. This is as athletic of a signing class as I've seen in a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you've got two guys that just play above the rim. When I say that about Pettiford, people, if you've not seen him, you think he's a 6'1", 6'2 point guard. If you watch him play, he plays above the rim as a point guard. And I sent you a tweet earlier with Ja'Kai Howard workout that he did, and they had a screenshot of him with his whole head above the rim. He has a 39.5-inch vertical. He can fly. And like you said, one of my favorite things that I saw on Ja'Kai Howard was coming down on a break one-on-one, playing defense. One-on-one, a guy goes up for a layup, and he doesn't block the shot. He goes up and snatches the shot out of the air.
Yeah.
He's impressive. Both these kids are really impressive and will really help. I don't know if you've seen the video of Bruce showing his team today when Ja'Kai said he was coming to Auburn. The whole team went crazy. If we can find a way to keep Aiden still there and get another year out of some guys like Denver and Chad Baker Mazzara, that team next year, we may not have a big guy. So yeah, we're going to have to look in the portal for a big man. But holy cow, they're going to be athletic.
Absolutely. I mean,
running up and down, flying. The Ja'Kai kid, he flies through the air. It's almost like he's levitating.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that assumption.
They're going to be fun to watch, but they're going to be fun to watch this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's move on from the recent signings that Auburn just had and the commit that we had today. But let's talk about this game last night. So Auburn does drop their first game. They go to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, playing the Sanford Pentagon against the number 20 ranked Baylor Bears. Baylor, obviously, an unbelievable rebuild job by Scott Drew, what he's done, winning the national championship a few years ago. Unbelievable program. Both of these teams came in, and I told you before the game, I was like, we could get blown out. We could blow them out. It could be a battle. Who knows? Nobody knows what we're going to expect because there's so many new guys, so many returning pieces that we didn't know it was going to fit. It's a neutral site game and a place nowhere close to Waco, Texas or Auburn, Alabama. So I had no idea what to expect. And honestly, I know it's a loss. I know they beat us. I know they had more points than us at the end of this game. And at the end of the day, we're going to look back on it and say, oh, we lost that game. But, man, did it feel like this was not only a really, really good basketball game from Auburn, but a tone setter in a loss. That's rare. That's rare that you set the tone for the season in a loss in a good way. But I think they did that in this game. Look, Auburn loses by 6. They were up 9 at halftime. It is inexcusable. You can't blow that lead. Baylor's an unbelievable – first of all, before I go any farther, let me credit Baylor. Baylor's an incredible basketball team. Ray J. Dennis is a fantastic basketball player. If he didn't stay out of foul trouble, he would have put up even more on us. And Jacoby Walter may be one of the best freshmen in the country. He is outstanding. He is a top 10, maybe top 5 pick in this upcoming draft. And he showed it. He went 4-7 from 3, 10-10 from free throw line, 28 points, 6 forwards. I mean, he was the real deal. That Baylor team is very, very good, and they're going to get better. They play in a dogfight in the Big 12, just like Auburn does in the SEC, though. So I'll be interested to watch Baylor. We'll be rooting for them. Hope all Auburn fans root for them until you see them again in the national championship, obviously. So, and I gotta say, watching that game, just to go along with that joke even farther, if Auburn and Baylor meet in March, I feel great about Auburn's chances. Because not only did Auburn and Baylor do this, they did this without having any film on each other. All they could rely on was scouting reports of individual players.
And
some of that was from high school film, like Jacoby Walker, like Aiden Holloway. I give credit to Bruce Pearl and Scott Drew for not only playing this game, scheduling this game, but how they played this game. It was a dogfight.
It was I agree. So a couple things. If you listen to Bruce Pearl after the game, he was very upset.
And
I like that. A lot of coaches would come out and come onto the radio and go, because I think the first question he got asked was, well, you got to be proud of your team. They played really hard. And he was like, this is a loss. We should not have lost this game. When you're up 9 at half, you can't lose. You cannot lose that game. They got a little careless with the ball late. And that hurt. We as a team, when I say we, Auburn as a team, has to be better at guarding without fouling. I thought the officiating was horrible, but I think it was horrible for both teams. The fact that both teams were in the bonus 5 minutes into the second half is officials trying to get on TV, in my opinion. The freshman at Baylor, he's fantastic. But the other freshman at Baylor that played with Aiden Holloway is also, he's a dog, man. He is a player. I can't imagine him and Aiden Holloway on the same team last year in high school. They were 36-1 in high school last year. So they're pretty good, but man, that kid, Nevis is the 6'10 kid. Really good player. Baylor will be good this year. Will they win the Big 12? No. Kansas is going to win that again. But they're a tournament team. Auburn's a tournament team, and that game felt like a tournament game last night.
Yeah. I got to be honest, it did feel like a Sweet 16, Elite Eight.
Yeah. I watched several games before it, and none of them felt like tournament games.
No.
You turn that one on, and it was like, hey, these are two good teams duking it out, fighting as hard as they can. And Auburn's got a lot to work on, a lot that they can improve on. And the fact that Coach Pearl came out and said, that's not good enough. I think he knows how good this team can be.
Yeah.
And I think he knows he let one slip away. One that when it comes to March, had we won this game, you'd point back to this game and go, man, that was a big win. He wants to be able to get those games, and he didn't. And I still think, though, when it comes to March, you'll point back at this game kind of like we did with the UConn game a couple years ago.
I love that comparison.
When we went to overtime or whatever and lost, and that's kind of what it felt like. Two really good teams battling it out and going to get
early
better.
In the year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and plenty of room to grow for both of these teams. We can stop talking about Baylor, but let's just kind of focus on Auburn here. You talk about – let's first talk about some of the lineups. So the starting lineup that came out from Bruce Pearl was Trey Donaldson at point guard, Denver Jones at the two, Chris Moore at the three, Jalen at the four, and Janai at the five. I thought that was interesting. Did not expect that. I don't expect that to be the starting lineup in a few games, specifically at two positions. And I see why when I look at the bench production from those respectable positions. So let's just talk about it. Aiden and Trey are the two point guards. Aiden ended up with 27 minutes. Trey ended up with 13, even though Trey did start, because of the type of impact Aiden Holloway made in that game. Absolute superstar. Came out, immediately made that four-point play. I know he missed the free throw. He went 3 of 5 from the free throw line. He's going to get better at that. That's a lot of nerves. He also had 6 assists. He looked incredible. 19 total points, went 50% from three. He's a sniper. Denver Jones also played really, really well. 13 points, went 3 for 5 from three. Every time Denver's got the ball, it feels like he's going to go score. Whether he's going to step back and make a jumper on this mid-range or three, whether he's catching the ball and shooting, whether he's driving the basket and finishing, it always feels like he's going to score. And then you got to talk about Jonai Broom. Denver Jones got 24 minutes, and KD Johnson got 16 minutes. So that's they're really splitting that evenly. Yeah. That's about where I would see. I could see Denver maybe in an SEC game get a little more. Maybe
I kind of wanted him to get more in the second half last night. I was looking for him kind of when we were 4 points, 6 points, 4 points, 6 points. And kind of, I kept looking for 12 on the floor, and it was always KD. KD played a good game.
Yeah.
But Denver is a threat.
Yeah.
To get you a bucket.
He really is. Absolutely. And then you can't move forward without talking about Janai Broom. I know Janai did foul out of this game. Pat Adams then tried to tee him up after he had already been fouled out, which we won't talk about. But Janai played really, really well. I think Janai missed a few shots at the rim that he will make in further games down the line. And he still ended up with 16 points, 11 rebounds. He played outstanding. He played outstanding, buried his first two threes. He airballed the second one. He also started out 5 of 6 from the free throw line and looked really, really good. He did miss some down the stretch. And it just looked like he was kind of wearing down because he did play the second most amount of minutes behind Aiden Holloway at 26.
By the way, he came out at one point, Janai did, when they took him back to the locker room. So I rewatched the game this afternoon. And it looked like he told the bench, I can't feel my arm. You remember he pinched that nerve in his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And they took him out and took him back into the locker room. He was back there for a while. And he came back in. He kept adjusting his shoulders and tried to. So the fact he went 2 of 3 from three-point range and was as good as he was from the free throw line says a lot, considering he had a pinched rotator cuff in the last game. And we didn't know for sure that he played it last night.
That is true. That is true. Same thing with Aiden Holloway coming off coming off a foot injury. I know he's been like warming up. He was warming up for the AUM game. He just didn't play. But like, that's impressive the way he played, especially all things considered. And then I got to talk about Dylan Carwell as well. Dylan played fantastic. Dylan, he was
a Tiger.
Absolutely. I know he went one of two from the free throw or one of three from the free throw line. Don't care. I absolutely don't care. He had 5 points, 4 rebounds, 5 blocks, 4 assists, and a steal. And he also used up 4 fouls. He was fantastic. Absolutely. He would have had 6 blocks if the Baylor guy didn't just throw it out of bounds on when he had a wide open dunk. Dylan would have blocked it. Dylan was coming right behind him. He would have blocked him or fouled him. Or maybe
Frank Fraschilla and the TV crew love him.
Yeah.
They love Dylan Carwell.
Absolutely. They call him the Jumbotron man.
Dylan is Mr. Auburn. And that's what they call them. And they're right. I think it was his best game as an Auburn Tiger.
Yeah.
If he does that every game, if he's blocking 4, 5, 6 shots, he's getting 5 rebounds, he's getting 4 or 5 points, and he's giving you energy and letting you use fouls, not on Janai, it's a huge win for Auburn.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about guys now that we were really, really impressed with and really showed out, but I want to talk about guys that had a really, really solid game and played really, really good and played good enough to beat. I think you play that same game, you beat probably all but 2 or 3 SEC teams, probably. You're competing with Tennessee if you play that game. Absolutely. Yeah. So you play the exact same way. And this team is going to get better as well. But let's talk about some of those guys. I think Chad Baker-Mazzara surprised some people. He played really, really well. He's long. He's really, really good on the defensive end. He did a great job on Jacoby Walker when he was on him, or Walter when he was on him. Had 2 steals. KD, I know you mentioned KD had a good game.
Hang on. Don't gloss over. He had 2 steals. He had them back to back.
Yeah, that's right. The
beautiful steal on the double team when they're coming up to set a screen. And then
came right behind him.
And laid it up and chased down the guy and stole it again. If he can give you that kind of energy and he's kind of like a calmer version of KD, he's a better athlete than KD ever thought about being, but he gives you that energy and that athleticism. He has a tendency to reach and slap. And apparently he has a tendency to put his elbow out when somebody runs by and get a
flagrant foul called on. Get me started on that, but I was really impressed with Chad. I think he he didn't shoot a 3. He's a shooter. Like that's what he was brought here to do, was shoot. So, and he didn't shoot a 3. So I think his impact is going to improve, and it's going to, his role improves as well. You talked about KD Johnson, how good of a game he had. He went 3 of 5 from the field. He looked really, really good. He looked like KD. He really did. He was a menace on the defensive end. And then let's talk about Chris Moore played solid. He's using up fouls. He's a beast. Trey Donaldson played really, really well. I know Aiden was – you couldn't take Aiden off the floor, but Trey was very, very good. Trey is solid. Aiden's special. Trey is really, really solid. And I think the switch at the point guard position and the starting lineup will happen to Aiden playing most of those minutes and getting the start. But we're not dropping off when we take Aiden off the court. That is huge.
That's the thing we're most scared at. That was the thing we're most scared about in the beginning of the year in our preseason. Let me go back on KD one time. KD had one in the second half. He had a coming off a screen, a pin down screen coming up to the wing.
He caught it. Jumper.
Old KD would have shot that 3 immediately. He didn't. He pump faked, took 2 dribbles, pulled up, and hit a 18-foot jump shot. That KD, I can get behind a lot.
Absolutely.
I thought Chris Moore was fantastic. I thought Chris Moore gives you strength and toughness that we don't have from a lot of the guys out there. I think that's why he's starting. I agree. You know, again, in our preseason, we said that point guard position's really good, but they're really young and they have no experience or very little. I thought Trey played solid. Trey got in foul trouble because Trey doesn't move his feet real well right now on the defensive end. He's got to move his feet and not reach. He doesn't have to reach. He's big and strong enough to muscle guys without reaching and slapping. And he got he went for a pump fake one time, and that freshman just ate him alive.
Yeah.
But you're right. I don't feel like we are losing a lot, except the electricity that Aiden brings.
Yeah.
Aiden Holloway. Aiden brings that electricity that Trey just doesn't. There aren't a lot of guys that can do what Aiden does.
That is true. So let's talk about, I want to talk about the four position, because those are the two guys that we haven't talked about yet outside of Lior. And Lior kind of got, I don't think Lior was in the game plan for this game, considering Jacoby Walker was the guy he would have probably guarded. And then Chris Moore and Chad Baker-Brazzara both had four fouls with 9 minutes left. So Lior had to come in and played solid minutes. He really did. He didn't turn the ball over.
The foul that the kid drove in on him, the kid that looked like a fullback. I think
he should have fallen.
I think he should have fallen. I'm not sure I know what a charge is right now yet this year, because the rules have changed, and I'm like, whoa. But I think he should have fallen, because he took a shot from the kid's elbow. That he fouled him with his face. And if you fall, maybe not from Pat Adams, but a lot of officials, I think they may have called the charge on that play. But yeah, I don't think he was involved in the game plan either. But
all right, so
getting back to what I was, four fouls.
Yeah, I mean, he had to put him in. Leor's a good guy to plug in right there.
Absolutely.
Talking about the four position with Jalen and Chaney Johnson. So first, talking about Jalen. Jalen just didn't seem like he was a major factor in the game. I know he had that really nice push shot right when Scott Drew went to right when he went to zone. It just Jalen was wide open and he just made a shot, and Scott Drew immediately came out of zone. He's like, oh, no.
Didn't play zone again.
I mean, and Jalen played well. Jalen had six boards. He had a block. I mean, he had another bucket. He didn't shoot the ball terrible. He went 0-for-1 for his 1-3 that he shot, and he didn't get to the free throw line. He just didn't seem like he was the Jalen that I thought we were going to see as his fifth-year guy, as almost the winningest player in Auburn basketball history. So to play that good of a game, to play that good of a team that way, like Baylor. Baylor's a top 4 or 5 seed in this tournament this upcoming year. No question. Maybe higher. That way with Jalen, who is going to be one of your best offensive and defensive players, just not getting in the thing. It didn't look like he was playing bad. Just didn't never look like he got in the game plan. Never looked like he got in a rhythm at all. He had some open shot or some contested shots at the rim early in the game, and they just rolled out. It just – that happens. But to have that, to not – basically not have Jalen this game, or not have the Jalen that we expect to have the rest of the season, and that we are going to have the rest of the season, and play that way, that's got to give you some sort of, like, reassurance. Like, oh, when Jalen gets back to score 15 or 16 – we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And that is understandable to say. But then talking about his backup, Chaney Johnson, who we haven't talked about. But this guy came from D2. This guy was a guy who's 6'2 in high school as a senior. Went to D2, grew what, 6 inches or whatever? And now he's playing in the SEC, and he's thrown against Baylor in his first game as a Division I athlete. He played great. He played 14 minutes. All things considered, he played fantastic. He had 3 rebounds, 1 offensive rebound. He had the beautiful pass out. He had the nice finish that he also had. Look, that position's going to be fine. You're going to get more from that position when you get more from that position, because we know what we're going to get from Jalen. When you get more from that position as a whole, this team is complete, and they are good.
I thought, what's the backup? What's his name again?
Chaney Johnson.
Johnson. I thought he did about what I expected him to do. Like you said, his first D1 game against Baylor, he didn't play anybody look like those guys at UAH. Or at Alabaster. One of their guys drove second half, drove the baseline, got around Denver Jones, and Chaney was there and went straight up. We're not going to get those charge calls on the baseline anymore. You're going to have to go up and contest the shot. You are always taught to take a charge, don't jump, get the foul. He went and jumped straight up and hung in the air. Bruce Pearl says he's the best athlete on the team, we got some good athletes.
Yeah.
He went up in the air, hung, and blocked the kid's shot out of bounds. And I was like, whoa. And then he came down on the offensive end and got that big offensive rebound and put it back in. He's got a chance to be good. I don't know if he's got an outside shot. I'm sure he does. He never took one. Jalen's the guy we call the Swiss Army knife. He does everything. And you mentioned he did a lot of everything.
We
need 12 points and 6 boards from him every game.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
Well, you said 12. He had 4 points. If you had 12 points for Jalen, you just add that on there, you win the game.
Yeah,
it's that simple difference right there.
Yeah, and we kept running. So last year when we ran the flex cut and he would step in after setting that screen, he got that ball a lot and turned and laid it up.
Yeah.
They were really pressuring the passer in that regard and made it real difficult to see him. We did in the second half one time. And got it down to him, and he turned around and laid it up. But if they're going to pressure that passer, Bruce knows more about running flex cuts than I ever will. But when he steps in, if he's not going to get that pass, there's got to be a next move for him to pop out or to backdoor or something to where we can get him the ball. He didn't have a lot of opportunities in this game. He had the 1-3. It was a good look. He just missed it. He's a good 3-point shooter. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about Jalen. He's going to score, but he definitely said, okay, teams, zone us. Play us in that zone a little bit, because I'm going to score 40 if you play this.
I've never seen a coach and a team come out of zone faster than that.
Yeah.
When he was telling his team to go zone, they went zone, and it looked like a good zone, except the middle of the lane was what they were giving up.
Leaving open, yeah.
And it was because we were burying threes. They were guarding the perimeter. We were burying – Aiden was in. Denver just made a 3. They went right to zone. And I don't know who it was that threw it into Jalen, but Jalen's wide open in the middle of the lane, about the semicircle, and just laid it up.
Yeah, he
Scott Drew came right out of zone.
Yeah,
he was like,
it was the Syracuse zone where the center drops back underneath the basket basically to guard Janai, and the two forwards are out trying to guard the wings as much as possible. So that middle's wide open, and Jalen got it and he turned, and it was almost like he hesitated and went, oh, wait, y'all are not even going to guard me here?
Yeah.
And if you do come and guard me, I'm dropping it to Janai. But if y'all are not going to guard me, I'm going to shoot my little push shot.
Yeah, I think Jalen was right. Defended. He went,
no more zone.
Yeah, Jalen was defended very, very well. And look, you give credit to Scott Drew for that. You give credit to the Baylor coaching staff. Because, again, just like I said very early in this podcast, there was no film on either of these two teams. None.
But he knows what Jalen can do.
Yeah. All Baylor didn't play a televised scrimmage. Auburn didn't play a televised scrimmage. There was no film on them. So Scott Drew, and I'm sure Bruce Pearl, went back to last year, and Scott Drew saw that Auburn has real success in the flex cut with Jalen Williams, and they guarded it well, and they pressured the ball on that pass well. It's a Scott Drew coach team. He's a very, very good Big 12 coach. He's a national championship title. Winner. Yeah, there's a reason he's a national championship winner. I know we gave him his point guard for that national championship year, but there's a reason he won that game in that year. He's very, very good, and he played that very, very well. And Jalen's gonna get going. Denver's gonna get even more going. Aiden's electric. Janai is going to play like Janai, but I think the most important thing and the biggest thing that we saw from this game, and my biggest takeaway for Auburn fans is, the superstars that played really well, they're going to keep playing really well. The superstars that didn't play really well, like Jalen, they're going to play well. They're going to have games where they go off. Jalen's going to have a game where he goes for 16 in the first half, just like he has every year.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is the fact that Chris Moore and Chad Baker-Mazar and Trey Donaldson and Chaney Johnson and KD Johnson and all of them played so well. They played so well, every one of them. There wasn't a player outside of Jalen, and Jalen didn't play bad. Jalen just wasn't up to my expectations or Auburn fans' expectations of what we've seen him do in the past. He also was guarded very well because Scott Drew knew that. But there wasn't a player who played bad on Auburn. Not at all. There were some bad possessions. There were some bad fouls that Auburn committed because you do have to learn, especially in the second half, how to defend without fouling, because it felt like they went to the free throw line every time. And I was like, well, yeah, that's a foul.
So I rewatched the game. I'm glad we don't do this show right after the game because I was very frustrated. I was very frustrated with the all the fouls that were called because if you're in the bonus 5 minutes into the second half,
both teams,
that's too many fouls. Figure it out.
This was not, we're not bashing the officials for it being one-sided.
No,
bashing the officials. I would guarantee Baylor fans will say the exact same thing as Auburn fans.
It was not well officiated. They were allowing players to get under their skin. The officials actually kicked a fan out of the stadium in the second half.
That's what took the goaltending call so long, by the way. It was an obvious block. And even the TV broadcasters were like, oh, that's close. I'm like, that's no. I don't understand how that's close. Once it's hit, it's hit. That's in the rule book.
Live.
Yes. It's just like if the ball gets tipped, you can do whatever you want to the wide receiver in football.
So
you could slam him down like Junior Rosegreen did that Georgia guy. Maybe not like that because that's assault. But, it took so long. Like the TV broadcast went to commercial because they kicked a fan out the stadium because the officials had such thin skin that whatever a Auburn fan was saying in the arena was getting under their skin so much that they got security and threw him out of the building.
Like they don't have better things to be concerned about. So literally. So let me get back. I'm glad we don't do the show right after the game because I was able to go back tonight and rewatch the game right before we came on and did this show. And all those fouls in the second half are almost all of them are fouls that are going to get called all the time.
Yeah,
we have got to get better at moving our feet and not reaching and slapping. And then the other thing we've got to get better is we blocked a lot of shots, but there were a couple times when three or four of our guys tried to block a shot and it allowed them to get an offensive rebound, pass it out, and they hit threes on offensive rebounds almost every time it happened.
Yep.
We've got to, I know we tied them on rebounding, but it felt like they out-rebounded us immensely because most of them were on the offensive side. At least it felt that way. And a lot of it was because three guys jumping at the shooter and nobody there to rebound. Dylan Cardwell by himself one time trying to rebound with three of their guys. And they got it. The big white guy for him got it over Dylan and passed it out. And there's a three-point shooter standing there with nobody near him. Yeah. They're college basketball players are going to make that shot.
Yeah.
And it just – so you got to get better on the defensive boards. You got to get better at moving your feet and not slapping. It got to. We can't give teams that many free throws. And then we just got a little careless with the ball. Coming out in the second half, almost every pass we threw was a little lobby pass.
Mm-hmm.
Three or four in a row that they got hands on were not crisp passes. So, but those are all things that Bruce Pearl can watch that film and
I agree.
Tear them up and change it.
Absolutely. There's nothing in this game that cannot be taught and fixed in the film. And Bruce Pearl said before the game, he's like, we need to get exposed. We weren't exposed against Furman. We definitely weren't exposed against AUM. We need to get exposed. Baylor did that. Mm-hmm. And it's the exact same way the other way. Baylor didn't get exposed in their secret scrimmages. Auburn exposed them. That helps Baylor. That helps Auburn. That's why you play these kind of games. But I will say now Auburn has a chance to get a few days of practice, not only get healthy, especially Janai, get healthy. What is up next for the Auburn Tigers? So obviously, Southeastern Louisiana on Friday night in Neville Arena, first home game. That really is a tune-up game. That Southeastern Louisiana team just will not belong on the same floor as Auburn. What are you looking at me kind of crazy?
I thought you may have like a roster for them pulled up, maybe. I know nothing about Southeastern Louisiana.
You know, I tried before we started recording, I tried to look up what Southeastern Louisiana basketball was like, and it's hard to find. I got to be honest, it is hard to find. I have no idea what to expect. They could be better than I am giving off. And they could come in and challenge Auburn for 10 minutes, but it's
don't pull a Michigan State.
No, yeah. Well, James Madison's a much better basketball team than Southeastern Louisiana. I can guarantee you that. Well, James Madison may be a top five basketball team. so not top 25.
It's going to be really cool for them to play in front of a packed Neville Arena on a Friday night.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure it will be packed.
It will.
And some of these new guys like Chad Baker Mazzara and
Chaney and Denver and
Chaney, they're gonna be like, wow, this is why I came to Auburn.
Yeah, absolutely. You play you get this is a tune-up game. This is a tune-up game before you go and you go get a dog. In Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a good basketball team. They're not near as good as Baylor. No. Notre Dame's a good basketball team. Then you're going to play either Oklahoma State or St. Bonaventure. Both of those are good basketball teams.
Although Oklahoma State lost their first game.
That's true. Not as good as Baylor. You won't play a team as good as Baylor, in my opinion, until you play Arkansas. I think that's a fact. I think USC is very good. I think Indiana is very good. I don't think they're as good as that Baylor team.
Yeah, Indiana is not as good as Baylor. I watched them play the other night in their home opener, and
USC is just not good as not as well coached and not as well built as Baylor.
Right.
And that game's in Neville Arena.
They have another.
That game was really in Neville Arena yesterday. If that game was in Neville Arena yesterday, Auburn wins the game. If that is in Baylor in Waco, Texas, Baylor wins that game heavily.
So let me ask this question then, kind of a soapbox. We played at Baylor a couple of years ago. Sharif Cooper's year.
The year where they won the national championship.
The year they won the national title.
Yes.
And then we played them again in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. When is the return trip to Neville? Don't we usually do home and home when we do those?
Well, you know, I think because, you know, the Auburn at Baylor, the game where they at the other one that they won the national championship was a part of the Big 12 SEC challenge, which is no longer a thing this year. Because Auburn or the SEC officially ended that and started the SEC and ACC challenge, which I think is going to build some incredible matchups and some incredible rivalries. Auburn will play Virginia Tech this upcoming year, but I look forward to them playing some teams in the better part of the ACC than Virginia Tech, like a Duke, like a North Carolina, like a Miami, like a I don't have any idea.
Let's not pick the Duke Miami.
Carolina Conference, okay?
Yeah. NC State, we played
NC State, maybe. Raleigh, yeah, I mean, there's some good matchups upcoming for Auburn. And look, this team is exciting. I know Auburn fans should be excited about this team. I know we are here at the show. We cannot wait to keep talking about them after every single game. We will have a podcast episode up hopefully this weekend. I know the game's Friday night. If we can try and record Friday night, we might do that. If not, it'll probably be a Sunday, Monday type of deal because Saturday we got to whoop up on those Hogs. But yeah, we are excited here at the show. If you want to find either of us on Twitter, stay updated with the show and what's happening. You can find me on Twitter at Gray Oldenburg, GrayOldenburg. And then you can find Chris at War Eagle Hoops. Thank you all for listening. We look forward to seeing y'all next time. War Eagle.
War Eagle.